do. I really do just want Holy Spirit to free flow through me and to speak through me what you all need to know, what you need to hear. And so I'm just going to speak to hear him and then speak out what I sense the needs are in this room, because I know there are needs in this room. God seems to do his best work in suffering. I know he's done his best work in me in the past 10 years, for sure. But also because it's drawn me so close to him. And as I said, I know him in a way I never did. And it's beautiful. He's beautiful. He is the most beautiful one. I want you to know, each one of y'all, God's got you. I don't know what's going on in all your lives. I mean, I had no idea. Whatever it is, God's got you. And he's got your babies. He's got all those that you love. And he's holding on to them, and he doesn't ever let go, because he doesn't do abandonment. He never leaves. He never forsakes. He's with us all the time, all of our life. When I was so messed up, even as a child and growing up, he was with me. He was with me. He was writing my story. He's writing your story. And he only, Bruce Edstrom's right, he only writes beautiful stories. He only writes redemptive stories. That's all he writes. So we just don't have the capacity to see. We don't have the capacity to see, because as I said, you got to have a new lens to look through. And that lens is an eternal lens, and we've got it in the scriptures. And yet, there's part of us that still wants to cling to that personality that we developed when we were young. And that was our false self. And it got us along, got me along a long time. But it wasn't, even though knowing in my head the truth about my identity, my true identity in Jesus, teaching it. And but it took years. And things that God ordained and then used in my life to strip away all the stuff that I was still trying to hang on to, you know, and so that he might be imaged forth out of me. And as I said, in Ephesians 2, and y'all who were ever in my class knew I'd work Ephesians 2:10 into this something, because it is my favorite verse. We are all masterpieces created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Every one of us. And so he goes on in that chapter to say that Jesus, in his work on the cross, has torn down the wall of hostility that stood dividing all peoples. And just see if this doesn't even sound contemporaneous to what we're seeing today in the world, and maybe in our own families, and maybe in our own church. I don't know. But it was that he would unite all people as one in him, so that we could all be in that glorious, powerful dance of love and unity, oneness, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and all of his people, knowing his love and then letting that love flow out. Because what does he say in 1 John? That perfect love casts out fear, casts out all fear. So whatever is going on in your life right now that's causing you to be fearful, take that to him and just lay it down and say, I'm really afraid of this, Lord, and I don't really trust you with this. I don't, because I'm still hanging on to it. And that was me. I was still hanging on to so much. Because sometimes we create a gospel that we can actually, or a Christian life that we can actually keep, because it's doing, it's looking right, being involved in the right things. When really what he's trying to do is this deep, deep work in our hearts to allow us to know how passionately we have been loved from all eternity, and that he actually has designed us uniquely and wonderfully for his purposes, and to work through us to love other people. That's it. Because John boils it all down, and he says, God is love. Read 1 John. Y'all just studied 1 John, right? Okay. It's all true. It's all true, and it's all beautiful. And John got it. John was the only disciple that really got it while Jesus lived on this earth, because how did he describe himself? As a disciple that Jesus loved. He knew the love of Christ. and it transforms. And that's what he wants all of us to know, is how deeply, deeply you are loved, and deeply, deeply you've been forgiven because of that work on the cross, which did satisfy everything. It took care of everything. Okay, back to Ephesians 2. He says, his triune essence, this is a Passion Translation, has made peace between us by starting over, forming one new race of humanity, Jews and non-Jews fused together. Two have now become one, and we live restored to God and reconciled in the body of Christ through his crucifixion. Hatred died. And now, because we're united to Christ, we both have equal and direct access in the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. And then Paul uses the beautiful metaphor of God building his temple, in which he's going to reside. And he describes each one of us as stones that are being fitted together. And he said, God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. And that's who you are. You are each one the presence of Christ Jesus in this world. You are the Holy of Holies because Holy Spirit lives in you. And so can Ephesians for a while, because in Ephesians, Paul really lays it all out, the power that resides within us. Who resides within us? It's Jesus himself. And as I said, he doesn't want us to perform for him. He wants to just move through us and out towards other people in whatever we're doing. Just loving other people with the love of Christ. He gives you the words to speak, even. So can the word. If you don't love the word, pray that you will. And he will work that word in you and through you, as he loves to do that. And I just want each one of y'all to know how desperately loved you are. And I want you to go out, and I want you to love those in your life with great passion. And whatever resentment or bitterness or anger you might harbor against anyone, take that to the cross too. And let him deal with that. Lay it down. His blood washes it all away. And it's so wonderful to live free and full, not holding on to anything. And it took me a lot of work, and it might take you a lot of work, because some people have had just more difficult stories growing up. But he transforms. That's what he's about. We're real good at reforming, and we can do that outwardly, right? We can begin to look different and talk different, but we can't transform. He does the work of transformation, and he's transforming each one of us into the image of his son. And it takes a lifetime. And as I said, I'm not there yet. I mean, just yesterday afternoon, I was making notes like crazy when he reminded me, hey, I wrote the whole book. Just trust me and just go and just open your mouth and just let this one know how loved they are, desperately loved they are. And when I was really working on some aspects of forgiveness in my own life, I happened to be at this clinic in Mexico where I went to do some holistic treatments. And it was Good Friday. And I was reading the passage, the scripture that described that day. And I thought about our Jesus. And as he's being nailed to a cross, and being jeered, and he's been brutally scourged and spat upon and mocked, he's hanging on a cross and he looks down and he loves. He gives his mom to John, John to his mom, and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. I want to have that kind of love. That I can say, Father, they don't know. Forgive them. Help me forgive them. So that we can live in all the attributes of and fruit of the Holy Spirit. The essential being love with all these facets, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. I have a long way to go on that one still. But he's doing the work. And he is in you, and he is at work in and through you. So whatever it is, give it to him so that you're like living like this and not like I did, like this for so long, trying to make it work and make And now I can look at two things that I probably would have said were the worst things that would happen to me. And in God's hands, they have become the most beautiful tool to remake me and to transform me. So praise be to Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We love you. We thank you that you are at work. I thank you that I sense your presence in this room. There's a heaviness here that's beautiful, and it's you. So you know the need of every heart here. Would you just speak to them, and would you let them know your nearness tangibly? I pray in your name. Amen. Hey, I felt like that's what I was supposed to say now.
If you'll send your questions this way, if you have questions, here's where you can go.
Oh, and she won't know who it is.
Right.
Hey, Tom, what did you want to say?
Anybody else have questions? I mean, you can ask them out loud too.
You can come in here.
What we talk about all the time, I just want to know, in the last 18 months, what is the most beautiful thing God has shown you, God has done in you, that He wants you to know?
I've seen a work of transformation in some people that I didn't think I ever would. Beautiful, brokenness and humility. And for the restoration of relationships that were really shattered. And it's been a beautiful thing. And so when you see things like that, you're seeing Jesus. And actually, y'all, walk around and know that the person at the checkout line at the grocery store, when you're looking at her, you're seeing the image of God. So thank Jesus, okay? And love people like that. Just look at people, because each one of them is a miracle, a creative work of God. In the image of God, we dismiss people. He wants us to embrace people. But I'd say that's it, Punky. It's just seeing that he's done beautiful works in many people, and he's given me the opportunity just to share life with so many people, many of whom I'd known before, and young women that I taught and have continued to have relationship with and things. But I know lots of new people too, and it's just it's a joy. People are the most precious treasures we have, our relationships.
Yeah.
And he wants us to live in communion and union, to know we're not to be separate. When I read that passage in Ephesians, did y'all think it's really worked out well? I mean, all we see is division and hatred, right, all around the world, and especially anti-Semitism. Again, it's amazing. It's just amazing. And yet I know, as bad as things look, God's at work.
Yeah.
He's going to do it. It's going to be a glorious restoration. It's coming. It's coming. And I pray some of y'all are alive to see it here on earth. Any other questions? Yes, maybe
we can talk a little bit more specifically about living out of your true self. I don't think that's something that we hear about.
We don't.
And we're all about appearance here. And
yeah.
So I think we need to hear a little bit more.
Okay. So I think the reason that we don't hear more about it is we don't really hear much about Holy Spirit, right? And the power of the person that lives within us. And so the true self is who God created us to be. He's given us a specific identity. We know our identities as Christians, that we are chosen and we're beloved and we've been called by name. We are His. All these beautiful passages of scripture that tell us our identity. That's everyone's identity, but each one of you has an individual identity that Holy Spirit would be happy to speak to you and tell you exactly how God sees you. Now, I'll just share the first time that I actually was asking him to tell me, you know, I said, okay, Holy Trinity, who do you say I am? And I heard, you are a delight to us, an absolute delight. And that might not sound much like of anything to some of y'all that were delighted in his children. But if you weren't, I just wept. You're our beautiful daughter, and we just delight in you. We sing over you with loud singing, Zephaniah 3:17. So it's that. It's finding out. So let me read in Ephesians again. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within you as your new life and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness, and you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. And so it is this transformation that's taking place inwardly when we really begin to get in touch with the reality that we are each one a designer original that God has created, and he, in his power, will live out of us. But I do, Gracie, and we live in an area where appearance and outward appearance is so important, and yet we know from the Old Testament, God does not look on outward appearance. God looks on the heart. And so it's this heart transformation that he wants to be taking place, which is taking place. You're not going to feel it necessarily. You may notice some changes, some desires maybe that you had that you didn't have before. But we live from here because this is, he's resident in here. We're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Holy of Holies is in here. So rather than living from here, where I live most of my life, we live from here. And this outflow, Holy Spirit outflow. And he gives you wisdom, and he tells you things that you didn't know before and about people that you're ministering to. It takes meditating and asking to hear from me, because it's not something we just haven't been taught. But the power for living the Christian life is in Holy Spirit. We can live a Christian life apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's not Christ's life. It's the Christian life that we've designed and we've defined. Do you hear me? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I just know there was a lot of pressure to do things. And I believe it was Richard Rohr said that we are human beings. We are not human doings. Mm-hmm. But so often, and I know as moms, you can begin to feel like you're just a human doing, when really we're created to be in this love relationship with him all the time and just living that way authentically. I'm going to embarrass her, but one that I know that does this most beautifully is Kay. Mm-hmm. Kay lives tightly with Jesus, and she's okay no matter what's going on in her life, and she really is. I love that. Love her. We just want to be authentic. Each one of us is a beautiful, authentic, unique person, and collectively we make up this beautiful tapestry. Yeah. It's really just learning to be in touch with the Holy Spirit and living out, living that life out. And it kind of, we move back further and further. We get humbled and pride, self-righteousness, all that kind of stuff that kind of has to go. And he knows how to chisel it off. Anybody else?
Okay, you were talking earlier about attachments, mm-hmm. and how he will gently let those attachments somehow, either come to the surface that we recognize them, or he seeks to take those away. Could you speak to maybe specifically
Yeah, I think that we all
Why don't you go to the false self?
Okay, Susan is asking, she said I mentioned attachments, and that we all attach ourselves in some way to things or people or lifestyles. It can be really anything. And that's because God has created us for that. He wants us to be attached to the Holy Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and to one another. But we can, my attachments were generally people. And I didn't really, you don't realize it, but I was clinging so hard to the attachment that I had to family and marriage, and that I couldn't let go. And so the Lord graciously, gently, and sometimes not so gently, very not gently, release my hanging on to that. But there are things that he sees in our heart. So that's the importance of this intimate prayer life with him, because he can tell you things just like he did me yesterday. I was so humbled. I mean, I'm thinking, what the heck? I think I'm going to go and talk to these women and figure out what you want to say. And anyway, so even that that's an attachment right there, an attachment to teaching rather than just speaking, free falling, you know. But there is, does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. But it's things that you might not recognize. You might. I had terrible attachments to my children. Oh my gosh, it's so much better when you just let them go, because he's got them, trust me. He's got them, and he'll do a much better job than we can. We just love him, support him, walk with him. Yes, Judy.
Say a word about holy interruptions in your life.
Holy interruptions in my life?
There have been
a few. and I do. I think it's a process, Judy. I think that there's a lot of holy interruptions because this transformation is a process. It's sanctification is a theological term for it, but it's the transforming power of Holy Spirit at work within us to grow us more and more into the likeness of Christ, because that is who we're all going to be when this work is finished. And it's not going to be finished this side of heaven, but it will be in heaven. And so, there was a great process of working through various doctrines that I held to, and then moved to different ones. And, you know, those were all holy interruptions. I had the massive holy interruption of a divorce, of children, of bringing home a little boy from Ethiopia that was profoundly disabled and completely wrecked in a beautiful way, our whole family. And he's now 16. And that was amazing. But so there could be all these holy interruptions that he's doing within that maybe lead you to different places, different studies, or reading different authors, or grounding yourself in certain passages in scripture. But to know that it is this divine process of transformation that's going on, and not reformation, which is what we are all about. Yes?
Love to hear more about just what you've learned about prayer and your prayer life and where you are in your prayer life.
Okay.
Improvement in prayer.
I used to write out my prayers, and it was, if I go back and look at those journals over years and years, a lot, most of it was asking, you know, for things, and there's nothing wrong with that. He says, you know, you have not because you ask not, so ask. But they were really, now my prayer life is more meditative, I would say. And I sit and I focus on a particular attribute of God, or want to hear from him. I my prayer life is really very active in nature these days, and just being in creation and noticing the beauty and the wonder, the intricacy. If you begin to really focus on creation itself, actually, I am going to teach you one thing. There's two places in scripture where God uses that word masterpiece of, you know, Ephesians 2:10 of the Christian. And the other one is in Romans 1, and it's for the creation. And that's a masterpiece, four masterpieces. That's it. So we can learn from one another, and we can learn from creation. But I would say, I think, was that Catherine that asked that question? Anyway, it's much more quiet and still, I would say. I'm not as actively involved as I'm receiving.
I just want to say one thing too. In my Bible, poema is written from you and that Ephesians. And I've always thought about that verse every time I read it because you gave me that word. So anyway, it's just sweet to sit here and listen to you.
Thank you. That's all. That was always very precious to me. It meant so much to me to first learn that that's who he saw me to be. Yeah. Took me a long time to believe it. But yes.
Love me, Candy. I've got to go. So my sister-in-law, her husband's having pretty serious surgery.
Susan, okay, we'll pray for your sister-in-law. Okay.
Love you, Candy.
Love you too, Susan.
Candy.
Yes. Oh, okay. I'm getting hard of hearing, but were you asking specific ways for people to love me or as they pray for me?
I just suggest people who love you and have been blessed by me so much. How can we be praying for you?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Just pray that I finish well, that I run, that I finish in joy, and that I finish all out. And that's my hope. That's my plan. So far, I've been really blessed physically. I'm not supposed to look or feel like I do right now. So obviously God's got more for me to do, but I think that I would continue to see each day as a gift, and each person that he brings across my path as a gift. I love having visitors. If anybody wants to just reach out and come by for a visit, that would be great. I am traveling a lot, which has been wonderful. And I had asked my family before Christmas, I said, I don't want any gifts from anybody. I just want time. So I asked for time for each of my kids and their families. And so I went to Mexico with Emily and Moody and their family after Christmas. And I've been to Port Aransas with Kelly and her family. And I'm going to Washington, D.C. to Graham's graduation with Trey and his family at the end of May or middle of May. So I would say that I can't think. Just focus your foot on your heart, what it is I need, because day to day, I don't know. I do want to, just as I said, finish in joy and love and peace, all of which I have right now in abundance, which it's not me. Thank you, though, for asking. And I know you pray, Judy.
But you've contemplated heaven, what you've been promised. Do you have any insight for us about what you will know about your family, or will they be there with you because eternity is eternity?
It's interesting because God doesn't really give us a lot, does he, about heaven. He gives us some, I guess most specifically in the book of Revelation, but I worried about that actually a long time ago, about, gosh, what's it going to be like meeting my parents in heaven? But there's going to be no sin. There's going to be no ill will. There's going to be no unforgiveness. There's going to be just love and joy, and I think reunion. So, but I do know, I don't know how it all works. I do know that when I die, I'm going directly there, and somehow I will become part of the great cloud of witnesses. I don't know whether those are, you know, whether those are embodied. I don't know. But I do know people that have had visions and encounters, my oldest daughter being one, where she's actually been into the heavenly realms, and it's people. So I don't know, but it's going to be amazing, right? It's going to be beyond, I mean, he says, you know, no eye has seen, no ear has heard the things that God has in store for those who love him. I mean, it's going to blow our minds. Whatever's left in the mind, I don't know. but I'm ready to go home. In fact, today on the way, this Jeremy Riddle song popped up on my Spotify, and it was called Home. It's a beautiful song. So what time is it? I want to be respectful. Oh, we've got a lot of time.
Well, I have something to say. It's not really a question.
Okay.
But I would say, just listening to you, obviously, well, I can't say that obviously, just not, but I mean, you changed my life. Mm-hmm. I was an eighth grade girl, moved in, and you saw me, and you invited me in, and not only invited me in, you forced me in, you made me teach vacation Bible school with you. You drove us to Bible study. I know you impacted everybody in this room. I'm sorry. I wouldn't have my walk today. And I think about you almost every day. I'm in Africa. I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for you. And I know that you say back then that you were broken, and as we all are, but you still changed lives. And you still saw me, and you saw a lot of people. And the Holy Spirit works through you, even through your imperfections and your brokenness. And I mean, I grew up in your home. I am the believer. I took all your precept Bible school. I couldn't get enough of you, even though you say it was just words. You just poured into me. I was so hungry, and you knew it was
His word, though. Yeah,
and you knew it. And so I know you've impacted so many people, but what sitting here today, in my imperfection, I can still see the ones he puts in my path. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to have
none of us are. None of us will be.
But we can still be touching those lives that he puts in our path. And thankfully, he moved me where he moved me and made Kelly one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. And I got to grow up in your home, and
thank you.
I'll never be able to say thank you for giving me
you just
days in this life.
So, thank you. Well, that's it. In the beginning of that film, I just, God always gave me a love for people. I mean, I was a bumbling idiot much of the time, but you know, I did love people. I loved you. I loved having you and Bess and Virginia, you know, in our home. I mean, y'all were like three more daughters. in common.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the same thing. You say nice things about me, but I didn't know that there was freedom to even come to Scripture without having to do it in certain ways. And you didn't know me and probably didn't even know that I was in your precept Bible study years ago. Yeah, Candy.
I need it till right now.
The first time you came to our Bible study because of Jen, I was like, what is Katie doing here? This, I was like, she should be teaching, not me, you know, and not that we teach. And I had to like go down that road, and it's purely just sharing. But I had never outside of time that the Lord had with me when I was a little girl in my Good News Bible, that I didn't know that you could just come. I always thought you had to be prepared or do it a certain way, or I don't know what I thought. It was always such a burden, and I knew I wanted to do it, but it was always so heavy. And then I come into your room, and you said my name, probably because I was putting that on. And I felt welcomed, and like I could come because you said come. It doesn't matter if you did the work or not, just come. and I am with you. That poem deeply impacted me because it allowed me to have an invitation at one point going, Lord, I don't know. I have a weird relationship with this Bible, but all I want is to know you. And I know that came from your simple come so many years before something.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I did know you. How did that happen?
Listen, we were supposed to reach
in your mouth. I know, it's just, it really is, it's incredible. And y'all, think about it. Think of Jesus' messages. Okay, do make this, just read through anywhere in the New Testament, but in the Gospels, particularly, well, Gospels for Jesus himself speaking. But how often he says, come.
Yes.
Come to me. Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's true.
You've said, you use those words, and people came. I know y'all did too. And it was the most welcoming, just come. Who said that? Everybody was like, dude, when did they come? And what did you do?
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody, but you know.
I know. I feel so much love.
So I just want to hear from your wisdom, because you know, I know we're supposed to love, and you just stand there with your hands out loving others. But then I also hear you say a little thing like, you know, you drag me to Bible study. So how do you know when to, because I have had to just step back with some of my children, and luckily I was gone. I was out of the country for a long time on a pilgrimage, and he did work. And I just prayed. And I just prayed, and I came back and was like, you know, so much better that I wasn't there. But then, you know, when do you just, do you just keep giving them Bible verses? I mean, how do you
Don't give them Bible. I did that. They weren't necessarily well received. Excuse me. Oh, okay. The question was, do I just give them Bible verses? I said, don't give them Bible verses. Okay. Just when I'm saying loving as Jesus loved, look how he loved. In the Gospels, watch The Chosen, and you'll see it. He goes to the people we avoid, and to the people, certainly that the religious people at that time avoided, the outcasts. You know, look at the motley crew he called around himself. You know, it was amazing. And so to me, I think love is no judgment, no condemnation, no critique. And I was really good at all that. And it's just being accepting, seeing people as they are, where they are, and moving towards them. To me, that's loving, is moving towards. Love, if we look at the love of Jesus, it is self-emptying, other-focused, sacrificial. That's the unconditional love that's in us to give to other people. So that you can be focused on that person and their greatest need, which is acceptance, to be known. Most of us want to be known, to be heard, and to be loved.
But do you keep asking them to come, you know, come to church with me, this or that, or Bible study?
Well, I could ask her to come or make her come, because she wasn't my daughter. And she would do anything that I asked her to. Ask her if sometimes my daughter didn't. I think it is just knowing that this person, however awful they're acting, and I can look back and not all that far back and see how awful I was acting, just knowing that the Father loved them. They love me. Trinity loves me no matter what. And we can't change a person. The transformation, y'all, that I was crying about a while back, I couldn't make any of that happen. It's all the work of Holy Spirit. And he's as I said in the beginning, he's got you. Mm-hmm. He's for you. He's with you. He loves you. And he will do it. Anything he's promised, he will do. And he just asks us to be kind of intermediate and just dispense that love, acceptance. Yeah. Because we have these ideas of what a good Christian looks like and acts like, and it's not true.
It's not true.
Anybody else?
Yes. First of all, I appreciate your transparency. Mm-hmm. I really love that. But it's all right. Okay. I know you've done a lot of work in forgiveness, mm-hmm. and I appreciate you sharing that. My question is, my tendency is to want to move away from those people who are repeat offenders. Giving your wisdom for these people who really wounded you deeply, how have you achieved that forgiveness?
Well, as I said, I worked really, really hard with a really, really good counselor for 10 years. At one point, I was going 4 hours a week. So if you've got good counsel available and you're able to get it, then you need that help. And they give you really good homework to do. I read tons, and but in the end, I can see it's the Spirit working through all those things. I'm not saying that forgiveness means that you let all those people that have harmed you in up close and personal. My parents were both deceased, and so that was work that I was able to go back to their gravesides and things like that and do business with God there. Others that were living, it's different, but I used to think that you can't have boundaries because Jesus had no boundaries, but he did have some boundaries. And I think that, you know, Holy Spirit will give you that wisdom too, because you don't just open yourself up to be brutalized. But I do think you ask for a heart of love and forgiveness for that person, and God will work that in you, for you, to enable you to do that, and then you'll be free. Because as long as we hold on to unforgiveness and bitterness and resentments, somebody said it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And so those kinds of things, I watched my mother hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness and resentments, and she became harder and harder. And there's actually a proverb that says bitterness rots the bones. And she literally had osteoporosis and just stronger to almost nothing. And she was extremely bitter. So you don't want your heart to ever grow bitter. So ask him to prevent that. And just to fill you. That helps.
Hebrews 2, about not having a root of bitterness.
Yes, that root of bitterness. You need to pull that up and help people that you are safe with, that you can share your angers and your frustrations about those situations with. It's really important. You know, we don't do community well, like we should, I think, you can't have a whole lot of people in your inner circle, but to have those with whom you are doing life day by day, that know what's going on within you. It seems like so much of our Western culture is about perpetuating this outward image, and that's the false, and rather than being able to share with those our deepest needs, our deepest struggles, our angers, our hurts, our loves, the things that we're dealing with. Addictions, we've all got one. I mean, something, you know, that we look to other than God to satisfy this emptiness that we've got inside, to have people that are praying with us and for us, and doing life with us. It's real important. And my generation really wasn't very good about that in church. I think you younger ones are doing a much better job of that. Yes?
A special request that you would speak a blessing over all of us for the impartation of that anointing that you have with the Holy Spirit, that fullness of the Holy Spirit, and your the love of Christ. Like, I want that.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are here. You are moving in and among us. I pray an outpouring of your love, of your kindness, of your goodness, of your faithfulness, of your patience, of your mercy, of your grace. Most especially the power of your love, to love upon each one of these women. I pray for a holy anointing that would be like the oil that runs down Aaron's beard, that they would feel lavished by your grace, full of your love, that they would feel the warmth of Holy Spirit, the comfort of Holy Spirit, that they would hear you, Holy Spirit, speak wisdom and truth and beauty for every situation and every need of their lives. I thank you for the heart that you have given each one that they would even be here this morning. They are all eager to know you. Make yourself known. It is your delight. I pray blessing and honor and grace upon grace upon each one of you, and that you may see him face to face. Lord Jesus.
You want me to play that song?
Yeah.